Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hey everybody, it is really me, and I am here with an amazing guest today. It has been a hot minute since I have filmed episode or podcast, but you know what? This month is a month that deserves me to break my silence. It is Suicide Awareness Month, and on top of that, we're going to be talking about mental health, especially in the teen pocket. And with me today, I have an incredible guest. Her name is Sheree. And not only does she keep my skin looking amazing with her magical skills and aesthetic products, but she is also no stranger to a hard life. So Sheree, go ahead and give us a little blurb about what you do now and about your family.
Okay. I live here in northern Utah. I have two sons at home. I have one son in heaven. My sons right now are 15 and 17, would be 19, turning 20 just around Thanksgiving this year. So I do aesthetics. I have a fun little studio in my house. This is where I got to know Camille and just try and, you know, make a difference, meet as many people as I can and get to know their story. And I was born and raised in small southern Utah, and this has been a big change for us to be up here.
Coming to the big city.
But so far, so good. And it's, yeah.
Awesome.
Every day is an adventure.
I love that. And so you glossed over an introduction on your kids. You were saying you had one in heaven. For those of you who've watched and listened to my episodes, you know that my spouse passed from cancer, and my three kids, who that is their parent, is in heaven as well. So can you tell us a little bit about your loss and how unfortunate that you are a member of the Suicide Awareness Club?
Yeah. So my son, Race, he was just 15 and a half, and he was my tall, rowdy, darling cowboy, just full of life, full of adventure. And he had a lot on him that nobody knew. Nobody knew that he was struggling with what he was struggling with. He was very fun loving, you know, and no signs of like depression or anxiety, you know, that we talk about now. It's more acceptable to talk about not being okay. You know, but
even from 4 years, don't you think, like pre-COVID,
absolutely,
it wasn't as talked about, but then after COVID, it seems more acceptable and comfortable to have people be able to talk about mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. But for him, I think he had some anger issues. You know, looking back, I can even see from being really little, he would kind of have blow ups and not really know how to calm himself down. And it took some time. And so, you know, in retrospect, I wish that I would have, you know, maybe helped him get the help that he needed to work on his temper.
So we're doing this episode not just to get our stories out, but also to help those that are listening. Right. So I really loved that you said, looking back, you wish you would have done this. So if someone is listening and they're child or teenager or young adult or themselves are dealing with maybe anger management, would you classify that?
Absolutely.
Or not knowing how to work through like really heavy, hard emotions? Can you tell us how you do that?
With mental health and suicide awareness and stuff, we don't talk a lot about anger and how the anger is really a problem, especially in young males, because studies show that they're very impulsive. They are very impulsive.
That's true. You know, and if you have a young male in your life, you know, sometimes they don't think things through, especially when they're upset.
And it just so happened that all things aligned. You know, he had access to a gun at that moment. He was completely by himself in that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't... I think even if he would have had his dog with him, or he needed to take 10 minutes to, go find the weapon or whatever, I think, would that have changed the outcome? And you can't beat yourself up over shoulda, woulda, coulda, all of that. The only thing you can do is learn and grow and share, to try and maybe help somebody else.
And I applaud you and your courage to be vulnerable and to share your story, because it's not easy, but I feel in sharing it and from my perspective, it helps their life have purpose, continue to have purpose.
Absolutely. And mine. Mm. You can go into a really dark place after things like that. You know, I've had divorce, I've had abuse, I've had, death. I lost my dad at a young age, and I found myself getting really bitter, at God and at everybody else. Was like, why do I have to go through this? Why me? I'm doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to come out of it. And after Race, my son passed away, I knew I never wanted to be in that dark place again. Mm. And so every single day, you have to have complete mindset of your purpose for that day.
I love that. So, and when you said you had to come out of it, what types of things did you do or do you currently do to help you come out of that dark, heavy place?
Definitely therapy.
Okay.
Definitely sharing, because you feel, when you are in a dark place like that, you feel alone. You feel like everything's on you. You're the one suffering. You're the one that is taking the brunt of everything. But when you share, you find out everybody has a story. Mm. Everybody goes through hard times. It may not be losing a spouse or losing a child, but it's something
heavy.
Everybody has something. Yeah. So when you're sharing, other people are going to open up too, and you realize that everybody's going through something. Wow. And you learn how they're coping, and that can help you.
So therapy, connection. Because when you share, you provides connection, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
You help. And your children as well. I know you said in that moment before he hurt himself, you wished he had a dog or a harder way to get to a weapon. Because you guys lived, and for those of you who might be listening and be judging, which... don't. But for those of you, Sheree, they were in a little small hick town, dare I say. Her family's from is hours away. It's when she said cowboy, it's not just an aesthetic. Like, their life was cowboy. Like, he was trained properly with that. Absolutely. His dad was a hunter.
This was the way of life for him and for many, many people. This is a way of life. Mm-hmm. And he had that. He had a gun. He was out in the field changing sprinklers. And a lot of times, they get rodents coming out of the sprinklers, skunks, snakes, things like that.
That are dangerous.
Yes. And he was very well trained, very well versed in having a gun, being around a gun. I still, I have a lot of mixed feelings. Uh-huh. And that's a whole other, a whole other story. But things, things do happen in our lives that make us change our way of thinking or evolve that thinking. And,
so that is the norm for a lot of families who live that lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Of being on a farm. Working the land, having threats that are around in nature. So that was something that was talked about and dealt with on a daily basis.
100%.
So when somebody's going through, their child, like you said, you're dealing with anger management. Mm-hmm. what are some signs that you would look at other than, you know, the normal, oh, they get so upset? And I mean, what is that now that you have this cruel gift of 20 hindsight is 2020? If someone is listening to this, what can you say if they might not know they're in a danger zone? Because that's where you were. You didn't know.
Yeah. You know, small things would set him off, you know. And
maybe things that you thought weren't that big of a deal.
I think
that was the red flag?
Or? Yes. Okay. And just how long it would take him to calm down, you know. Okay. It would take some time for him to calm down. I remember one time he was really little. He was probably only like 6 or 7. And I don't remember what even it was about, but he was so mad and he was in the shower and he was like punching on the shower. And I just was thinking like, what is he doing? You know, he's so upset. And I think that's where I can look back and think like, maybe he had some anger stuff that he needed some help with, you know, mm-hmm. like how we process our anger.
If you could rewind, or for those listening, mm-hmm. what would you tell them to do, or what did you wish you do now?
I think I said everything that I could have as a parent.
Okay.
You know,
that's beautiful. That's amazing.
I think as a parent, I did everything that I
in your wheelhouse
could have done, but maybe he needed extra help. But again,
so for those listening who mm-hmm. who are maybe identifying with your story, going, wow, that looks like my child.
Yeah.
What kind of help would you recommend for them?
I wish I would have reached out to a counselor.
Okay. That's a great advice.
And somebody that had ways to help him that I didn't, you know, how we process. Mm-hmm. Maybe different kinds of activities that he could have done as an outlet. You know, he did play sports, he did play football and stuff, and that was really good for him. Down there, we didn't have access to the things that are available here, mm-hmm. like a big group of counselors to choose from, like a lot mm-hmm. of sporting activities. And
we're keeping going. That's not the end.
So you know, that was hard too. And also in that aspect, where he was my rough, tough cowboy, mm-hmm. and it's hard for them to ask for help. It can be hard for anybody to ask for help.
It's so hard.
Mm-hmm. But he had a very mindset of that he had to be tough. He just had to keep, you know, going. He couldn't show weakness. And I wish as a parent I would have made sure he knew that showing that did not make him weak.
I love that.
That asking for help does not make you
no.
weak.
It makes you strong. It shows your strength and courage, right? When you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you're having a child that's dealing or exhibiting signs of mental health, counselor and communication.
Yeah.
Sheree is incredible, and her light and energy and her essence shines. And I know if you are hitting this up on my YouTube, you'll agree, because she's totally beautiful, but she's beautiful inside and out. And laying there getting my face done, you know, you chat and connect with people. And to me, meeting her, I don't think it's happenstance. I don't think it's just, oh, cool, I looked, you know, saw it and walked in, and just a coincidence. Like, to me, it was just a testament of, look at this on the outside. And if you're listening, like, she is blonde, she is beautiful, she is tanned, she is flawless. Like, you would look at her walking down the street or her Instagram and you'd be like, she's got it all, she's amazing, my life's hard, and why can't I be like her? But the more you know her, the more you're like, I want to be like her, because she is so well-rounded and so full of beauty and depth. And that only comes to your heart and your soul when you deal with really hard, heavy things.
Yeah.
So not only people want to be beautiful on the outside, which you help with that in aesthetics, like that's her jam, that's what she does, But she speaks to that beauty on the inside. And that's, I think, as a community, as a world, like, what we need to do is focus more on being our true, amazing, vulnerable selves, because that is beautiful.
It is. When we work in this industry, we can be there in people's spaces, you know, really up close and personable. And it gives people this kind of this opening to share. And they are really vulnerable laying there, and I'm, you know, picking and analyzing every little thing. And I really connect with a lot of my clients that way. And my goal is, of course, I want to make you look good and feel good, but I want you to be confident and happy from the inside out, glowing, you know, and it takes healing.
It does.
It takes healing.
And that's what's unique about you, and that I want to help convey and share, is that going to those places to be vulnerable and connect and share your story, when otherwise you'd think, oh, I'm not going to share because it's too painful or it's too hard.
Or it makes me look stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. That in sharing that, it only provides connection, but also helps attract the right people in your life. And, you know, God is sending, I believe God is sending people every day sometimes, like, in our life to help us through. And if we're not vulnerable and we don't share in those hard moments, we miss an opportunity to help others. And this is kind of what's brought me, like, the last year has been really difficult with my boys with mental health.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not a stranger to having hard times with mental health. I mean, it'll be 8 years next week that their dad passed away. Wyatt's 12, Gunnar just turned 17, Aniska's 20. I mean, they've known sadness and they've known hard.
Yeah.
It doesn't go away unless you speak to it, unless you go to therapy, unless you work through it. And that is the part that's so frustrating. You can't run. You can't run away from hard work and trauma that you need to do.
Yeah.
Because it just boils up and comes back.
My 15-year-old son, man, he's really been through it. So he was 11 when his brother died. And then, you know, shortly after that came divorce. People grieve in different ways.
Absolutely.
And, you know, everything just kind of came to a head, and unfortunately that's what happened. Mm-hmm. And then we moved. And so he really went through
huge life changes, loss,
change, you know, and gosh, he's so strong. He is so strong. But the best thing that him and I have going is that we communicate, you know.
Love that.
I'm really honest and open with him. He's really honest and open with me, and I allow him to have those bad days. I think when we have teenagers, they're having those really difficult bad days, and it might just be over a math test or a friend that gave them a hard time, or they ran the mile in a, you know, a bad time, and it affects them. And I think that as adults, we see a bigger picture. You know, we've been through more, and so we kind of like discount they're going through, and we're like, oh, you're
marginalize
gonna
it or make it smaller.
You're gonna look back on that, and it's not a big deal, and you know, just shake it off. It's all, you know, but to them in that moment, it is a big deal, and so I think we need to allow them to have those emotions. Don't try and discount it.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's massive, because a lot of times I think as parents we try to, it's not that big of a deal, okay.
Yeah.
But then then they're not validated.
Yes, exactly. And with my son that passed away with Race, he was my farm boy, he was cowboy, he was very, very hardworking, but he was pushed to work that hard too. And also as parents, I think, you know, we're like, okay, well, our kids need responsibility. You know, they need responsibility, they need to work, they need to see what it's like to earn their way. And so we do put a lot of pressure on them that way. But what's too much? Where's their breaking point? You know, I think that you have to have balance. in that too, you know.
And how do you find that with your 15-year-old now? Is it communication?
Communication, but I mean, we're still working on that. He's mm-hmm. at that age, you know, I think he's ready to kind of, you know, have the job, have the responsibility and things like that. But then also I want him to focus on school. And I think it's different with every kid.
Yeah.
Every kid needs something different. And I rely on him so much as a single parent and running my own business. And I have a 7-year-old. And so he helps me so much. I rely on him a lot. I'm like, you can't get a job.
That's why you have allowance. I know. That's what I tell my, you know, 17-year-old. It's like, dude, this is the only time in your life where your job is being a kid yes. and going to school and being an athlete if yes. you so choose.
Yeah.
And you'll look back and be like, oh man, I wish life was that simple. Yeah.
I hope I praise him enough. I hope he feels appreciated because mm-hmm. I sure do appreciate him.
I love that. They're sent from heaven too, man. Kids are amazing. And so I'm grateful that you know, I was getting a facial, a hydrafacial. And side note, I'm just going to pitch you because I do all the time. If you are in Salt Lake County and you are hearing this and you're like, dang, I need to self-care myself. Sheree is incredible. Her company is called Love Your Face Aesthetics. Mm-hmm. And you can find her on Instagram.
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, website.
And what's your website?
It's loveyourfacestudio.com.
Okay. Yep. So if you do want to come meet this incredible woman, get pampered, and do some good stuff for your skin and your heart and your soul, you can check her out. I will put in the show notes as well as in the comment box on YouTube the link to her info and how to contact her. One more time. Going forward and having hard days, even for yourself. So we have spoke to the kid aspect and teenagers, mental health, get them a therapist, communicate, talk. As a mom and a single mom, which I've been in your spot, like, how do you, maybe leave the show with what's like two tips that you would have for someone who's a hustler like you, who's, maybe they're a single parent, maybe they're a widower, or maybe they're married and it's just hard. And how do they show up and have courage and not get sucked down in that heaviness? You know, what's something you'd say to someone listening that's just like, man, I'm struggling?
I think faith is huge. Mm-hmm. Faith, whether that's, you know, spiritual faith in a higher power, but faith in yourself.
I love that.
If you keep working, you keep doing your best, you treat other people the way you would want to be treated, that it's all going to work out.
That's beautiful.
You know, so having that faith in yourself, truthfully, that's, I've been through a lot and I am definitely far from perfect. And I know I've wronged people in the past, and that sticks with me. But I do feel like in my heart, and I'm a good person, and I try to project that onto other people and really help as many people as I can. And I think that when you are that type of soul, it comes back to you.
Amen. Karma. What you put out, you bring back.
Yeah, it comes back to you. So just having faith that if you do your best every day, that it'll all work out. And it's okay to ask for help. It's okay. That. It's all right to ask for help.
Or share when you're in that hard spot.
Yeah.
To even a good friend, having a good friend to do that. That's massive. That's huge. I appreciate you being vulnerable, having the courage to share something so deep and painful that a lot of people just want to move forward and never talk about because it hurts. And I can relate to that in a different way. But that's why we're here. So if you guys are listening, you're going through something hard, you've been through something hard, maybe you're hesitating and sharing it because it's hard and painful, let this be also an inspiration to you to open your mouth and to be vulnerable, to have the courage to share hard things that you're dealing with, because in that, you're helping others in their life and in their journey, and you'll attract your tribe when you're honest and vulnerable and you let your light shine, whether your light is having to deal with a lot of dark, deep shadow. But I believe that darkness and that deep helps you only shine brighter.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Sheree. Appreciate your time. We love you. And you guys will love her. Thanks for listening to this episode. And again, we encourage you, if you're dealing with mental health, do not delay. Do not push it under a rug. Don't take it like it's possibly just a bad day. Take it serious, because it is. And it's, I went with my son to a therapy appointment a couple weeks ago, and he said, the therapist said to Gunner, well, would you look at a diabetic person and say, I'm not going to give you your insulin, you know? And it was just like, because Gunner's taking medicine, you know, and he's frustrated that he needs that boost of serotonin to help his brain, right? And his therapist is like, it's real. It's just as real as insulin to a diabetic. And that just was so massive. Yeah. Like, it is real.
Light bulb comes on.
Yeah. Yes, it's not just this buck up and be happy, you know, think positive thoughts, you know, even though I love that. But when you're in that space, it's real and it's true, and you don't take it lightly. So we love you guys. Leave a comment if you have any. We will peruse those and try to get to them as we can. And thanks for watching. Bye-bye.